You don't know. Have a surplus until, you know, even in the summer, you have to worry about, you know, August and September. Have that surplus really in the bank. Closes and you know that all the bills are paid. So that would be my cautionary tale in that regard, because we have done that in the past. I've seen stations. You can't spend it because you don't know how your year will end or what the next drive will be. That's the nature of this beast.
I guess what I was looking for is something along the lines of this committee would reevaluate on a quarterly basis existing budgets, and if, for example, the next fund drive also yields a surplus and you come around to a certain point of the year and you say, okay, now there are things above what we approved as a budget that really do merit spending now, because, for example, doing development work on training means that you have people in the pipeline producing better programming sooner. So, I mean, that's sort of what I was looking for, that there would be a time when we would agree, okay, yes, now this really does look like money over and above. The other alternative is to say, no, once your budget's approved, you stay within that until the end of the year, and at the end of the year, we see whether or not you actually had a surplus.
This is Carol.
Go ahead.
I'm not making a proposal. I'm just putting out some of the things that I recall. I believe at some point in the past, the way it was done was if at the end of the year you had a surplus, then that was your discretionary fund for the next year. You didn't budget to spend it, but, I mean, that was the pool that you could draw upon. And we're about, I don't know because I don't have a balance sheet, if any stations have excess working capital besides KPFA right now. But is that money budgeted in any way? Because that would be prior year's carryover surplus.
No, it is not. That's what I was saying earlier. But when a station has a year end, let's just say cash in the bank, simplify it.
Actually, I wouldn't like to simplify it that way because they may have cash in the bank, but they may have accounts payable.
No, I know.
So right. If we just look at their working capital and say they've got a lot of excess working capital around.
Yeah, let's assume they do. That's just for purposes.
Mm-hmm.
After bills are taken into consideration and after any whatever, they have plated surpluses, say from prior years, whatever.
Yeah.
What is going to be the disposition of those funds and who is authorized to designate how they will be used?
Mm-hmm.
The answers come up, well, the station does. So, yeah, the station and along with the board, the local board, or the general manager. Some folks like me will say, nope, I'd like to have a look at it from a point of view around issues that we were discussing earlier around R&D, around funding investigative reporting. And then that may mean that each station may have to contribute to that effort if it becomes a board policy. It may be that the answer comes back, well, the board wants to set up guidelines around the use of, quote, surpluses, unquote, for network purposes. But that's that discussion we haven't had, and we need to have it. Or maybe that the board has a strategic plan and direction. We want to digitize, but how do you do that? We don't want to digitize, but we want to go multi-platform. Issue, how will it be financed? And so it may be that the answer is and each station may contribute something toward it. So that discussion we haven't had, and we should, but I think if we have that discussion, it'll go a long way. And I know it's politically sensitive. I know it's murky territory. But I do believe it's an important discussion to have. And every organization sooner or later comes to realize, hey, what do we do with surpluses? Who owns it? How is it to be distributed? For what purposes? So anyway, I think we need to begin that discussion.
Okay, well, that's why it got put on the agenda. I guess the answer to the question is on the WBA front, there's no immediate plans to sort of revisit for now. So maybe the rest of that will take up in the discussion, which
Dave?
Is actually now the last item on the agenda. Is there anything else on WBI before we move on?
Alice, you had
a motion. It didn't get seconded.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, please.
Oh, me. Okay. I move that this committee address the BAI budget again in detail at our which meeting, at, say, December 15th or in that week.
Do you describe what you mean by address in detail?
Yes. Examine the records for what came in for the just passed fund drive and any other
proposed adjustments.
Sorry?
Proposed adjustments.
Proposed adjustments, yes.
Bonnie, by what date will you have that information?
Well, let's see. The December 15th will only have data for November because we're talking about income and balance sheet statement. Now, MIMSIS data, that is the data around the drive, probably would be available before then. My suggestion is that...
Well, wait, before you go there, do we have a second to this?
Yeah, I'm seconding it.
Okay.
So
you're suggesting, Lonnie?
Well, the financial data I will have available will be only for November because December, of course, won't be ready. But if we're talking about drive-related data, I think that maybe Paul or Alice or folks here on the committee can report that data out as we know it to be at that point. And simply do that. Now, in that period, we're going to be reporting out on drive results for every station, so WBI, I think, need not be singled out because we will need to do it for everyone. If there may be, recommendations around budget adjustments, I don't know, revenue forecasts may be an issue, or expense, whatever may be an issue. So I'm saying that, by all means, let's look at everybody. And understanding that while financial data will be only for November, we still can perhaps look at what I call MIMSIS-related data, the drive-related data.
Do you want Alice to change your motion or to amend it to just say we'll look at the MIMSIS data on drive performance?
No, I want to look at BAI specially because, for one thing, I want to know if we don't get enough in return from that drive, that Lonnie has a plan to protect the station.
Okay,
that'll
come from looking at the MIMSIS numbers. Is that correct, Lonnie?
Yeah, I need to know what the drive fulfillment rates are, what the invoicing. Yeah, if there is an issue, I will come to that meeting with a recommendation.
Now, by what date will you give us those numbers so we can preview them?
Well, let me see. What day is the 15th? Is that a Friday?
I don't know.
Let me look. Bother.
I don't have a calendar.
I have one. Let's check. Because I've got...
Or the week of the 15th, I said, whenever Friday is.
The week of the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
The 15th would be...
Well, then the 17th.
Friday.
So could you have that data to us by, say, the 12th?
I mean
the 13th.
Yeah, I'm assuming, yes, I can get something. And I usually do it the Tuesday or the Wednesday before the meeting just so I get the updated information.
It'd be better if we could do it on the Tuesday than the Wednesday.
All right.
It gives us a little time. The other thing is each station can do a MIMSIS report. It says how much was pledged and how much has been paid and what the fulfillment rate is on any given day of the year. And if we could get if you could get those reports for us, Lonnie, and send them to us, we don't need all the detail. We don't need the 67-page report. We need the one-page report that covers about half a page.
Yeah, well, that's slightly separate motion, I think.
Well, but
the stations, but Alice wants to single out BAI.
Right. I mean, I'm just referring to it as some of the data we would need for that meeting.
I don't like to do. I'm saying it's available at the station. I'm not saying that I'm going to collect it from the station.
Could you perhaps ask each station business manager to transmit it to, let's say, Paul, who's the secretary of this committee, and he will be responsible for distributing?
No, to the treasurer of each, or
station. I'm sorry. That is difficult at some stations.
Treasurers don't show up at this committee meeting.
Forward it to our committee.
Now, I'd like it forwarded to the secretary of this committee, because he should be responsible for distributing it to the committee.
Can you hear me?
I'm going to move to amend that motion and have the business manager give it to a committee member from their station area for
distribution. Okay, well, when we consider that motion, there's a motion on the floor right now, which is to specifically look at BAI. Are we ready to just vote that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any objection to it?
Objection to the vote or objection to the motion?
Objection to the motion to specifically revisit the WBAI fulfillment.
Yeah, I would vote against the amendment, against the motion.
Okay. In that case, Paul, could you call the roll?
Can you restate the motion, please?
Let's have the motion restated.
Alice?
I thought someone wrote it down. Okay. I guess it's now the 17th, right?
Yeah.
All right. I move that this committee at our meeting on December 17th readdress the WBAI financial situation, including looking at the fulfillment of donations to this drive just passed. And there was something else, Carol.
And any proposed budget adjustments.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was seconded. So, Paul, can you call the roll?
I'm just writing this down. Any proposed budget adjustments. Okay, that's a little bit broad, but I'll just leave it at that. Should I reread it or
no,
just go forward? All right. Dave Adelson?
Yes.
Lonnie Hicks?
No.
Alice Shields?
Yes.
Carol Spooner?
Yes.
I'm going to vote no. LaVarne?
Yes.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 yes and 2 no.
Okay. Now, Carol, actually, on the MEMSIS stuff and for all the stations, can we do that when we do the station report?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. All right, so the next thing on the agenda is, the policy on interstation transfers. And Lonnie was going to get us some information, some proposed language on that, I believe.
Yeah, I did not do language on the proposed station transfers. And it just was getting extremely complicated.
Okay.
Because it transfers involves at least 5 different kinds of items. I did do language on other items we discussed.
And was that in that note you sent around to all of us?
Yeah, I went ahead and did some language on overs and unders on the budget. And
okay, that's the next agenda item.
Yeah, that's the next agenda. Let me suggest this. I'm talking with the auditor. They don't want to do a special audit on the interstation transfers for the period we had discussed. They said it'll be expensive and prohibitive, and it costs a lot of money.
Say the period we discussed, you mean January 2002 to present?
Yeah, that one. And then looking at the general issue of station transfers. Let me suggest this as something that I can work on and get back. There are lots of ways, lots of transfers that go on, but the ones that I am focusing in on will be the ones that are outside the budget, the approved budget. But I'm assuming that any transfers within the approved budget are not at issue. So, in narrowing it, my focus, I said, how do we handle proposed transfers that are not outside the budget? I'm suggesting that we hold them, we handle them like we handle any other budget item. It has to be brought forward, has to be looked at and reviewed by this committee, and or approved by the board.
You're saying are outside, you mean aren't, I mean, are, you said aren't outside, you mean are outside?
Yeah, are outside the board-approved budget.
Okay.
So if there's, say, a new legal cost, and they're not in the budget. We have approved legal transfers, quote-unquote, in the budget already. Say there's a new legal issue and it calls for an additional sum of money. That would be brought forward as any other item for approval.
Yeah, the question is whether or not this committee would have the authority to approve or whether the board would. But before we go there, I want to take a step back. You said that the auditors didn't want to do the auditing of the unbudgeted transfers, that it would be difficult and costly. The board passed a resolution mandating that. So I didn't think it was really a question for the auditors to decide whether or not they wanted to. And I don't find it acceptable that that vote of the board is not being carried out. So I'd like to know what your plans are to implement that resolution of the board, or to present the board with an alternative resolution.
No. The auditors were feeling that in that period before they took the audit, their audit capability depends on having opening balances be accurate. They can't vouch for their opening balances being accurate, so they have trouble dealing with whether the opening balance is accurate. So they said the end result you might get will be murky. Now, what they suggested and what we more or less agreed to do was that we will review the period ourselves as a part of the audit. They won't do it, but we'll do it as we do prepare schedules for the normal audit period, and that we would come back with our best reconstruction of what happened, that is, internally. So we agreed to do that. Now, if you want to insist that they do it, and you want to carry that forth to the board, that may be. But that's their response initially.
Ronnie, did they say as a matter of professional policy that it was not really a viable project?
Yeah, they won't do it. Most auditors will not take responsibility for work that was in disarray, or they can't provide support for the documents weren't there. Most of them won't do it. It's too much liability involved. And they won't do it. Most auditors will not do that. So you end up with, you know, do we do it internally and come up with our best reconstruction of the books without the supporting documentation? And I said, okay, we'll do it. We'll have a shot at it. And so we are proceeding along that path right now.
Okay, Lonnie, at the August 23rd meeting, the following motion passed by 9-1 vote of the board. The PMB requests that in the next audit, the auditor audit inter-unit transfers beyond those for central services since January 102, and the PMB not delay passing the FY05 budget. So that request, I assume, has been made, and I think I'd like to move that, or I'd like to request that somebody move that we get a note in writing from the auditor about this. But that the will of the board was that the auditor do it. If you have an auditor that doesn't feel able to do it, then we need some response about that. It's not.
Yeah, they'll be happy to give you a note. They'll be happy to do that. So why don't we make that?
This is Carol. If I may come in. Go ahead. That was a board resolution having to do with the audit, and I strongly agree with you, Dave, but I think that maybe the audit committee should take it up with the auditor and discuss it.
I think they did. Yes, I agree with that one. Yeah, they did actually discuss it at the audit committee.
Then I think the board needs to get a written explanation as to something the board feels is necessary, you know.
Yeah.
That the board asked the auditor to do, the auditor says, no, we need to hear from the auditor directly about that.
And I think we may need to actually meet with the auditor as well, the board, and ask some questions.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear exactly what are they missing that they can't do this?
Well, first of all, we want to keep the audit committee separate from the finance committee, okay? Remember, that's how bylaws read. So I agree with the suggestion that the audit committee has to charge. I agree with the suggestion we ought to get something in writing from the auditors. So why don't we proceed on the ground that we will refer it to audit committee and we will make the request of the audit committee to make the request to the auditor. That keeps the finance committee separate from the audit committee, which I think is what we are bound to do.
Fair enough.
right, and who will communicate with the audit committee? You want me to do it, or somebody from?
I think it would be best if the secretary did.
Yeah.
Said that we got a report saying that about this. It came up in our meeting and requesting that they consider it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The other option is to do it through on our board meeting, which is, I believe, Monday, to add an agenda.
Not on the agenda.
Is anyone from this committee on the audit committee?
No, bylaws prohibit
okay.
finance committee members from serving on the audit.
Right, I can't do it either.
And yeah. That means
who's the chair of the audit committee?
Teresa Allen.
Okay, I'm in touch with her. I can.
Okay, good.
I'm going to communicate to her that the Finance Committee would like to ask the Audit Committee to request of the auditors why they will not carry out the audit as requested by the PNB.
In writing.
Right, a written.
And their response.
And their response, yeah.
This will be a memo to the Finance Committee and the to the Audit Committee with the CC to the Finance Committee?
I think you need to CC the full board.
To the board.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, can you
yes, I'll
email me a copy of the resolution?
Sure.
Okay.
But now going back to what Lonnie was saying about unbudgeted inter-unit transfers, I think what I heard him saying is that they should be handled like any other out-of-budget process. And so maybe we should just have a motion that be the case, that unbudgeted. Well, the problem is that sometimes there are, you know, urgencies. So we really do need to come up with a policy for, you know, what happens when you need to spend money that's not budgeted, and there's some urgency to it. I do think that one idea is that this committee would have the power to review and approve. The other is that this committee would recommend, and the National Board would have to approve, and I think there's strong arguments for that as well. Do people have some opinions on that?
I don't think review and approve, Dave, for the Finance Committee would be appropriate.
I agree. I think it should be review and recommend, and the National Board should have to approve. But what we could do is call in the event of an urgent matter, it would be brought to this committee, and we could convene a national meeting for purposes of approval if necessary.
What about the coordinating committee?
I agree with you. I don't think any committee should have approval authority.
Yeah.
They're restricted from having approval authority.
Yeah. Well, I think it can be delegated, can it?
We're talking now about...
If the National Board were to delegate the authority, could be...
That's the point.
I wouldn't want to delegate it to a committee that isn't familiar with the budget, so I wouldn't think the coordinating committee would be
the But he's right that the coordinating committee would be the right place to call a meeting if necessary.
Are we talking about emergency situations here?
Right.
Yeah, okay. So on an emergency situation, there are two or three possibilities. The one I would recommend is that where the emergency is dire and a short time frame, that you do allow station management or even local boards to act and then review and ratify.
I agree.
Well, the issue on the inter-unit transfer was exactly this issue of, for example, if money is needed in one part of the foundation from a given station. You know, the problem there is as much as it is going to the National Board, if National needs to say, hey, look, we need the following money. KPFA has some cash in the bank right now. It's urgently needed over here. You know, who's the approval arm? If you're asking KPFA's LSB, they may have a different perspective than other people for approval. So the issue is that I think that there be a notification that goes to the locals, but it seems to me that transfers between units is a national thing where that committee, where that LSB brings its views on the matter to the national through its representatives.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, let's call them proposed budget adjustments at this point, okay? Any proposed budget adjustment can be proposed on an emergency basis by the GM, the ED, the Finance Committee. It may be proposed, I guess, by anybody, but where does it go? Let's suggest that it go to the Finance Committee for review. I think I like that because they're most familiar with the budget. I agree, Carol. But it's going to, but it has to be ratified at the next meeting of the full board, okay? Because it is a budget adjustment. And we're not only talking about emergencies now, just an emergency.
You are only talking about an emergency now?
Yeah, for this
purposes
of this discussion, because that they brought it up as an emergency. But what about an emergency? Why could we do it that way, that the Finance Committee can review proposed emergency requests, but must be ratified at the subsequent P&B?
I like the idea of saying that the National Office has a certain discretion in emergencies up to a certain amount. But that there be a notification, so that, in other words, no transfer happens without a notification to the PNB and to the local board of the affected unit, if that unit has a board. But the PNB, anytime there's an unbudgeted inter-unit transfer, the amount, the reason, and the status, i.e. whether it's going to be paid back or not, that gets automatically noticed regardless of the situation. Then, in case of emergency, there's an authorization for the National Office up to a certain amount, and anything over that has to go through a prior approval process. Otherwise, you get a post-review process, review and approval process, and that in the event that it's not an emergency, you get the standard process where it's brought before the National Finance Committee and the recommendation is made to the board for approval. That's sort of the...
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave.
So I think that I can, if that's generally acceptable as a notion to people, I can draft something for the next meeting.
Yeah,
that expresses that. Lonnie, how do you feel about that?
I like the idea.
Would you recommend a dollar limit based on your experience?
$50,000. Yeah, above.
For our budgets, that's huge.
Now, you mean for an emergency, say you got an antenna going down and need to get a vendor in there quick and you need to do it.
Right.
You know, that sort of stuff. I think that, you know, emergency is defined as health, safety. There are five ways in which emergencies come up. But just so if you're going to write it, Dave, I'll just give you my 2 cents.
Could you email me that list, too? Say, if you could just send me an email, say, here it is, health, safety, blah, blah. These are defined emergency categories, and this is the dollar amount I recommend. I'll incorporate that, and then we can pass it at the next meeting.
All right.
Does anybody else have anything to add to that?
This is LaVarne. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I think Carol had sent something out. Like, you know, this is like basic policies in terms of spending limits and approval and outside of budget. I think Carol had sent something, say, with a format or a template, and that, you know, just use that, you know, mark it up, and then we can have something to talk from. Because each time we get to this meeting and we start talking about possibilities, it's just, you know, we still don't see anything in writing. So it's good that Dave's going to go ahead and do this. Maybe you can just get one of those templates that Carol had mentioned before, I think in Board Cafe or something, and use that and go from there.
I think that's a good idea. It's nice, professional, crisp, clear, clean, standard language.
Right.
Are you suggesting that I don't use crisp? No, sorry.
So this is going to be a resolution on inter-unit transfers or on all budget adjustments?
I'd like a form that covers all of them.
I think we might as well just go general with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if it's targeted and clear on that, because I think there are other kinds of budget adjustments that, for example, you want the local station to have the kind of authority we're granting the national here.
And the amount may be different.
Yeah, so look, I would prefer, we'll write it, and if people want to, I'll get it out to people before the meeting, and if they want to adjust it, or if Carol can send me that stuff that LaVarne's talking about, so I have it in front of me. If Lonnie sends me this, I'll construct something, I'll get it out, and we can pound on it on the list and bring it back to the next meeting for approval.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Can we
move on?
I just want to add one thought. Are you going to include a role for the LSB in this, the LSB's responsibility for approving the budget?
It's a good point, and I think that we can have a notification if it's... Yes, the short answer is I will write up what I expressed. I will include notification of the affected LSBs, and if there's other issues, we can deal with it when we have a concrete motion in front of us. but I agree that if we can spend a lot of time on this now, not as productively.
Right. Now we need something that's before.
Right.
Okay.
So
a few days before is very helpful.
Yeah, I'll try and get it out within the next few days. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is, no objection to moving on? The next is Lonnie's proposed policy on unbudgeted and overbudgeted line items. Lonnie, do you want to describe that?
Yeah. What I did with it. I'll do it off the top of my head.
Okay. I have it here.
Oh, I got it.
You got it?
Oh, what I did is
I have two or three policies, which some of you know. One
where
of,
we sent this?
Yeah, it's in Word. Proposed finance policies.
Okay.
Do you want me to email it? Does anybody need
yes,
me to
you.
Email it to them?
Yeah, thanks.
Just Alice?
What I, yeah.
Okay.
You better send it to me. I think I got it, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll send it as an included
great.
Tax.
Thanks.
Well, what I did is I reiterated some policies that we have in place, and I included the ones we discussed, plus one of my favorites. And let me go over them just briefly for people listening that don't have the document. I'll just read it if that's okay. It's not that long. Each unit, this is proposed finance policies. Each unit and the PNB board will monitor their board-approved budgets for the fiscal year according to the following guidelines. At September 30th of each fiscal year, each unit will have accumulated 1 month's operating expenses computed to be total expenses plus central service expenses, something that we have been doing, something we are budgeting for. So this is a current policy in place. I'm merely reiterating here what we have striven for. B, each unit shall monitor and report to the CFO variances from the board-approved budget, actual or projected. And actual or projected is an important caveat, exceeding $75,000. And this includes the board of directors' budget. That is, if I see in October a big expenditure and I project that out and it looks like it will exceed, create a variance that will exceed $75,000 replicated over those subsequent months, that must be monitored, that must be reported. Because I will report out any projected variances and then I will report back to finance in case anybody misses it. Why did I choose $75,000? I can go into that. And look at the 5% rule. And if we do 5% budget variances, if you look at how our budget is set up, hundreds of items would exceed the 5% variance rule, so it didn't seem practical. I looked at 10%, then I realized, well, why don't I go with a dollar amount that may be more germane, because small budgets create huge variances. You know, if you go from $5 to $10, you've got 100% variance. So I looked at dollar ranges, and I looked at which dollar ranges actually create problems that we want to look at and have looked at. And then somewhere between $50,000 and $75,000 and above, we want to look at that variance. And I looked at some items naturally vary, you know. So I chose $75,000 rather than $50,000 as a item which had to be monitored and reported out on. I just chose $75,000. Others may have a different number. C.
Question? Can I ask a question? Is that $75,000 per line item? Or
Per line item.
Okay. So any line item that would exceed the budget?
And that's $75,000.
Okay, thank you.
I'd make exceptions. If I saw something at $50,000 I needed to bring up, I would. You know what I mean? But this is involving other people reporting out on those same line items, you know. So I chose $75,000. You know, for a budget like, say, KPFA, $75,000 total. Remember, we have to look not only at line items, but whether or not the total in that given category, programming or development administration, is going to exceed the $75,000 too. So remember, it's a double-edged variance we're looking at. $75,000 on a $4 million budget is, you know, 1%, 1.5% roughly on a $4 million budget. So it's not a lot of give in that figure. C, each variance report on that $75,000 will be accompanied by a written statement of the causes of the variance and the financial remedies proposed by the manager to bring the budget back in balance. This is an important caveat as well. You may have variances, but that manager could say, well, you know, I'm really cutting my budget in the following areas, and I'll be balanced out. We want to know that rather than spending time on a variance that ends up not being a problem. It may be misbudgeting, maybe overbudgeting, it might be an error. So you do want each manager to take responsibility for explaining the causes of the variance and the remedy. E. Unbudgeted emergency expenses shall be allowed with the approval of the executive director, the CFO, who will then report to the National Finance Committee, which may choose to review and approve such emergency expenses. We've touched a little bit upon that. This may change that particular recommendation by the motion we just discussed. Lastly, all motions of the Pacific National Board shall, upon presentation for board review and or approval, shall be accompanied by a financial impact statement as to cost, and shall identify the source of the funds to pay for any given motion presented. Again, you all know that's one of my favorite. I think that's essential for us to do that, to create some discipline around the expenditure of funds, and, you know, that the folks thought about it, they understood where the funds needed to come from, and if we pass a motion that has no financial support and no source of funds, at least we know that, and that becomes transparent to everyone that may be working with that particular item.
Mike, could you give a specific example of what that would sound like?
Well, you get a financial impact statement with a motion to insert first-class items into our election costs, right?
Okay.
Say that just to bring up something that randomly. But if there's no, and I'd be happy to work with anyone doing a motion to do the cost, because
But what would the impact statement be? Is it just it costs this much, or doing that means I have to cut budget here, or what is it other above and beyond the amount of the expense?
Well, it would be a form, which many organizations use, called financial impact statement, motion, to insert first-class mailing for the election. I'm just making it up, of course. Financial impact, cost equals $100,000. Funds identified would be reducing the budget by $100,000 in category A, B, and C. That then the board, in looking at the motion, can see, you know, what there may be no financial impact, and they would say so on that financial impact form. That way, you know, when voting on any given issue, what the financial impacts are going to be. Very commonly done.
So the financial impact is essentially the budget adjustments that it would entail.
Yes. That's how people make that adjustment.
Thank you.
And normally what the boards do is say, hey, this is going to impact our budget. We'd like to have the budget redone to reflect the change we're voting on now, and that be reported out at the next board or some quarterly or whatever. That way everybody knows what's being changed the moment it gets changed. You know what I mean? As opposed to waiting a quarter to find out what the financial impact was on any given motion. So,
this is LaVarne. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and then the last part is
Wait, did LaVarne, did you have a clarifying statement on that?
Oh.
Hello, I thought I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would put a dollar amount, LaVarne, on it, like 50 or whatever.
Yeah, as an example, like this is very good. I think this is coming up at a really good time. Because as an example, you talked about doing a mailing that costs $10,000 for BAI. Maybe you can use that as an example and kind of like run that through to show us what you're talking about.
Yeah, if something, say it's BAI wants to do a mailing, costs $10,000, it's not a part of the current budget, right?
Right.
And we would ask the GM or whoever to fill out a one-page financial impact statement that would start out purpose to do a mailing in connection with the fund drive. Cost, $10,000 for postage, et cetera. Financial impact would be $10,000. Source of funds to be utilized. There, the individual would identify where he or she expects that to be paid for. It may be from increased revenue from the drive. It may be to reduce a line item to pay for it, and there's no impact to the bottom line. And it may be the other part of it I've used is supports, approvals. At the bottom, you'd have approvals. Has it been approved by the GM? Has it been approved by the LSB? And there you would indicate the approvals for any motion that is, you know, who's reviewed it, who's looked at it, and who supports it before it comes to that's very helpful, useful information. So I would put, have an approval sort of section at the bottom. Has the CFO seen it and approved it? Has the Finance Committee seen it and approved it? So when the board gets it, they know, you know, what's happening here with this motion. Now, you wouldn't do it with all motion, with all financial items. You know, you wouldn't do it for $300 items. You wouldn't do it for small items. But for large items that impact the budget, whatever number we might choose, I've seen it work very well. Person say, I don't know how much it'll cost, just an idea. Then what'll happen is they'll send it to the CFO, they'll send it to the GM and say, help me with this, I want to know how much this might cost. And then they get the information that way. Anyway,
can I ask a question?
Okay, well, let's take a stack because I'm sure everybody has stuff. LaVon, you were saying you wanted some other stuff. Anybody else?
Alice.
Anyone else? I have one or two things. Okay. LaVon?
Hi, this is LaVon.
Hello?
Yeah.
Go forward.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what Dave said, something about I'd ask for some other stuff.
Oh, I thought I heard you while Lonnie was saying you had a follow-up. Did you not? Or do you want to talk about the motion or the proposal?
Yeah, I was talking about the fact that Lonnie just explained what we're into. I was in it as an example of the fact that, you know, this if budgeting outside, asking for it. Lonnie went through the whole explanation. That's it.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I don't know either.
Okay, great, good.
Lonnie, why should any of the units have any variances from their approved budgets except for disasters like, you know, the antenna, the transmitter going down or whatever?
Oh, happens all the time.
Can I give an example, Lonnie?
Yeah, I'll say, let's take the drive. The drive didn't come in as well as folks hoped. So someone says, we need an off-air campaign now to make up for the lost funds on the air, and they may come, you know, with some off-air ideas. And, you know, it may involve a mail drop, or it may involve, I don't know, whatever. That is not in the budget. And we need a mechanism by which people can get the job done by ways other than we planned. They need to also make sure that that's approved and documented. So
I have another example.
I have two other examples.
Alice, I'll go and then Carol. We had our fund drive got rapidly bigger than expected. And during that year, we had to hire additional staff to deal with the additional workload associated with getting those numbers put in and getting fulfillment done. So our revenue jumped. But our expenses kept up with it because we needed to bring on people to do the work, and it wasn't planned that would happen.
Could I respond?
Carol, why don't you give yours, and then you can respond to mine.
Well, I mean, almost anything can happen. A machine can break, and you have to replace it. It wasn't in the budget. You didn't budget for it. That's normal. Life is like that. No budget is ever going to be 100% perfect. And I think that maybe there needs to be some dollar amount where you would go through this process that there's got to be some leeway discretion one way or another. But if there's something over a certain dollar amount that you didn't budget for, you'd have to go through this budget approval or budget adjustment approval. And an example, and I think a very germane example, is you decide to hire a public affairs director and it wasn't budgeted. You need to say, if you want to adjust your budget to hire staff that wasn't budgeted, you need to say what the positions are, what they will do, why you want them, and how you're going to pay for it, what other items you're going to cut, or what other revenue you have that wasn't budgeted that you're going to use.
You don't.
Say somebody quits and you need to do a job search.
Well, for one thing.
You should have budgeted for that.
For people quitting?
Yeah. I mean, we've got, everybody's got some money. And
we have $150 national.
Yeah, right,
for a year's worth of job search. In our
budget. Okay. That's an example of poor budgeting, because we should definitely budget for things like that are normal.
Well, if people feel, you know, on a personal level of finances, I believe in general, I cannot depend in my life, and most people can't, for having more than they expect. And as I know that there are occasions, of course, in which one has to go above these things. If this body likes this part of what we're talking about, B, then I suggest lowering the amount from 75 drastically downward, because when money is there and possibilities are there, financial issues at a station don't get better. They, you know, I think the amount should be very small, and I'll leave it there.
Well, I'd like to comment on that. Yeah, I think that $75,000 for KPFT, that's what, a quarter of their budget? 20%?
No, they have a $3.6 million budget.
Okay, I'm thinking, yeah, their fund drives are $300,000, yeah. Okay. Their budget is what?
1.5.
Yeah, okay. But so anyhow, so it's more like 7% of the total. I mean, a $75,000 variance is, to use Carol's example, you know, you could hire a development director for that much. And I think that is high. I think that it should be a percentage of the budget line with a minimum dollar amount. And I would like to see a minimum dollar amount more on the order of $10,000. If you're going to do something that's going to incur, you know, basically, I think if you're going to hire a new person, if you have to hire somebody, then that should be something that your local board should take a look at and say, okay, well, why is it happening? And do we agree that we want to move in that direction?
Well, you know, I'm happy with a 1%. We can play with that.
Well, but you made the point, and it's correct. 1% of $300 or 100% of $300 is ridiculous.
Oh, I don't mean on the line items. I mean to the bottom line. That is to say, in the programming or administration, that variances to that bottom line greater than 1%.
So for K, that would be, say, $30,000.
Yeah, that's another way of dealing with it.
That's a good. I think that's reasonable. What do other
people
think?
Again, please.
At variances to the bottom line in a given department, like programming, administration, salaries, you know, revenue even, ought to be reviewed. 1%, you know, of the, say, the budget for KPFT, $1.6 million would be around
$16,000.
Yeah, and that, if you look at it and just test whether that makes sense in every station, you see.
That does.
It makes sense.
Clarify for me again, are we speaking of line items or the whole station budget?
Well, I'm sort of saying to each departmental category that we...
Department.
Yeah, department, programming, administration.
Uh-huh.
Well, again, one person, I mean, I think 1% of the station budget's not a bad idea. Yeah, or 3% of the department budget or something.
That's a good point, too.
This is Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
When you do that, for instance, when we get our monthly reports, income and expense reports, we may have something that's over and something that's under. And so the category itself may be looking pretty much on target, but there's something way over and maybe something else way under. So my question in this proposal would be, how would we deal with that? How do you think we would handle that, Lonnie? If we were, say, we were looking at the administration budget and the insurance cost doubled from $300,000 to $600,000, and we hadn't budgeted for it, we didn't know it.
This is LaVarne.
What?
This is LaVarne. I'd like to...
Okay, after... Would it be okay after Lonnie responds, or do you want before...
Yeah, anything, Carol, that I spot, I'm bringing it up. You know what I mean? Because it'll show up, because we have this variance thing going. I would bring up any of those kind of anomalies that don't fit what we're doing in the sense that it isn't captured. I would bring them up and start the process of saying, what's going on here? What do we need to do? But... this is just me, doesn't mean it's the only way to do it. I tend to want stations to stay within 5-6% of their line items and within 1% of their bottom line in any category, the whole budget, the programming, the 1-3% in programming administration. And where there are legitimate needs to change, then we make a budget adjustment. So in the end, where they are places where these percentages are exceeded, they are going to be driven either by a good legitimate reasons and therefore need a budget adjustment, or they're not very good reasons and need a budget adjustment the other way. So that's how I think about it.
Dave, put me on the stack, please.
Okay, LaVarne and then
okay. This is LaVarne again. Kind of go back to what I said about the girl. I think she had sent a template in terms of it's kind of basically signature authority. So it's like, you know, it's a basic thing. Like, the GM has, like, responsibility or whoever, like, for, like, maybe 10, 20, 30,000. Anything above there, the CFO has to sign off on. Personal issues have to be signed off on by CFO, ED. You know, anything above a certain amount, the board has responsibility, like, anything above that signature authority. So, again, you know, like, we discussed this, like, for the last three meetings, and we need to see something written down to some of this basic information. I mean, I can pull it from a template from, I don't know, Board Cafe or something. So we can go to that. We can see, you know, like, this is done, like, every day in all organizations.
Right.
So we just need to, like, get this out because we're spinning our wheels. We discuss this each time, and we don't see anything.
LaVarne, would you be willing? You said you'd get it out of Board
Cafe.
I'll get with Carol.
I'll see what's out there. I'll send it out.
Develop some specific language, and we'll start
I'll pull the template. I won't have to really develop anything. Like I said, all the stuff is out there, and we'll just send it so we can discuss this, and then we can change it in terms of what you're comfortable with, and what we think the board really requires for the organization.
Okay, is there, Alice, you had one other thing?
Yes, I did, and thank you, LaVarne. I look forward to that. I just wanted to say that as I've experienced this PNB board over the last almost year, gradually the boards, both small and large in Pacifica, seem to be finding more their way and what, in specific, the Pacifica board has to do and therefore what its expenses are. So my suggestion would be to leave off when we consider these proposed finance policies again, to leave off or make it a separate examination of the P&B, the board expenses themselves, because my guess is over the next year, whoever is on the P&B will find in more refinement what the board has to do and therefore what the expenses of the board will be. So my guess is that's going to be a developing issue in finance, and I don't think it should be referred to in the same way as presently as the station and unit issues are financially. Thanks.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're going to revisit this, getting some more specific language. Is there anything else?
Concerning that, there is one other thing when Alice talked about the board expenses, and that's that, you know, in the preliminary numbers that we have, Lonnie, that I was at the station. And what I'd like to do is probably go in and look at all the charges against the line items, particularly on board expenses, because I know we'd looked at the ones at KPFA, and there were, like, some hits in there that were incorrect, and there were some charges there that should have gone in other line items that were there. So I think that, you know, I just need to go in and look at and just do a little account analysis or audit on the expenses that are showing for board expenses or even election expenses, and that, you know, try to make sure that there are some that the hits that are in there are you know have been taken care of because there were some inaccurate charges in there for KPFA anyway. So I'd like to have that done, and maybe I can work with Lois and Belinda on that sometime next week.
Okay, is there any objection to moving the agenda? All right, if there's not, then the next item was Ambrose Blaine's proposal to establish a $25 to $50 million line of credit. If I recall, Lonnie had said he would need more information to even think about that request, more specific information. Since Henry isn't here, Lonnie, I'm wondering whether you could contact Ambrose and ask him or write a letter, a note to him saying what more you would need, and then we could consider it once we had the information.
I'd be happy to do that, but boy, it'd be nice to have Ambrose. Ambrose will say, yeah, I think we need to look at having a $25 million reserve for anything from emergency purposes to for transmitters to ADA to rehab buildings. He's going to come up with that kind of answer.
But the point you made was that you can't really go to a lender and say, we want it around just in case.
Yeah, so I'll do it. I'm happy to do it.
If you could just write it as a note and CC the committee,
yeah, I'll do
that'd be all right. And if we can't get anything more specific, we can't get anything more specific, and we deal with it on that basis.
Yeah.
Dave?
I agree.
Yes.
In case it's relevant, I just wrote out a simple little motion for the committee. Resolve that Ambrose Lane will explain the purpose and motivation for his proposal to establish a $25 to $50 million line of credit for Pacifica.
Well, the reason I have an issue with that is I think what we need to tell him or what we need to be on record as saying is we've considered it, but that CFO has indicated that we cannot go to a lender without a very specific
right.
purpose for the money, and it should say that.
Yep, I agree.
So I think Lonnie can take mm-hmm. care of that. I think they have good relationships. So
yeah,
if he's willing, then I'd like to leave it there.
Sure.
Is there any objection to that? Okay, if not, then the next item is the station treasurer report. How many treasurers do we have besides BAIs? We have LaVarne, we have KPFA.
My report is basically the same from the last time in terms of the fund drive. I think we raised, it's whatever in the attachment to the minutes, and we really don't have that much change from the prior time. So I think the fund drive was... if I can get the minutes, I think it was 976, and that it was successful. We were a little below what our target was, but actually we had about 50,000, I was told, in web pledges, so actually we were, we were a little above goal. So that's the latest from KPFA, and we do have a new general manager, so
congratulations.
We're looking forward to exciting times.
Paul, did you have anything to add to what's already been reported about BAI?
Not really, just that, very likely there will be an effort to try to organize some off-air projects and to try to get as much board involvement as possible, including in the area of pledge fulfillment, phone banking and calling up people and reminding them to fulfill their pledges, although that will involve mostly people who have pledged in previous fund drives. At least that's the thinking thus far.
Okay. Lonnie, do you want to fill us in on the other stations and give the CFO report?
Dave?
Yeah, Alice?
I have a question about BAI.
Go ahead.
For Lonnie. I'm looking at the Pacifica Consolidated that you sent out, Lonnie, and in the last year, the budget for BAI's gross salaries was $775,230. And it went over by a variance of 46.47%. So could you tell me, and by the way, the consultants increased by 208%. So my question is, was someone approving above the GM level these hirings or increases in salary in consultants?
Let's do the consultants separately.
Yeah.
The consultants turned out to be, I think I've spoke to this before, that when the fiscal started, people that were temporaries working on drives were thrown into consulting, and the people who were just really hourly people, some of them with a regular schedule, some of them without a regular schedule, occasional hourlies, all of that got thrown into consulting. And so the consulting line item looked like it was way overspent. When talking with the management there and with Indra, saying to her, you can't do that. You've got to separate out for true consultants from the hourly people, from the people who are temporaries, all that. She did that in March.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the consulting line item was utterly gone, empty.
Yes.
Where'd they go? She took them.